Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by Shady Rays. Go to ShadyRays.com and use promo code SGPN for 50% off two pairs of polarized sunglasses. We're also brought to you by the NBA Playoff Survivor Challenge. We're giving away $250 cash and a $100 gift card. Sign up today exclusively on the SGPN app.
How do you go to Jen Reno's and welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network episode 327. Going to go out to a new friend in the Discord, Rob Robs. Man, so nice to name him twice with an S at the end. He looks like he's going to be a real sicko like the rest of us because he asked if we like talk about regional MMA like LFA and Cage Warriors. Oh, yes, we do. We are sickos around these parts, so he will fit in quite nicely. If you're not in this Discord yet, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/discord. This is not a low-level MMA or regional MMA episode, though. No, we're talking about the big boys, UFC. They've got another event on ESPN this weekend, and we're going to break it down. Myself, Jeff Chalks Fox, one of the hosts here, who isn't too chalk. I'm going to give you a little spoiler. Whoa. I'm not very chalky this week, let me tell you. And the man making the weird noise, who's never chalky, is Daniel Gumby Vreeland. Hello, sound effect man.
Yeah, I'm not usually chalky. Also, if he thinks LFA is low level MMA, wait until we're talking about Samurai Fight House
and Muradov
Professional League. Yeah,
or the one that just got canceled because no security.
Oh yeah, XMMA 6.
Yeah, that's not even really that low level though. So that's
no. They usually
have pulled a low level move though.
Yeah, they usually have a wild assortment of like former UFC guys, but yes. Maybe that's why, you know, I'm not here to say that the organization was being shady or anything, but they seem like they've got a lot of money on the books.
Yeah,
every time they do a show, so it wouldn't totally surprise me if they suddenly found out they didn't have the ticket sales and needed like three more weeks to get them.
Yeah. Well, this isn't the XMMA episode. Maybe. Oh, they just postponed it, so they're doing it again.
Yeah, it's supposed to be in the middle of May now, I believe.
Will we be fooled twice, Dan? Will we do an episode on it only to be fooled and have them cancel on us?
I might just copy and paste the last one if it's all the same matchups.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, we'll just replay the episode. Fantastic. That's what we're looking for. Cutting corners right here. All right. Well, we don't have low level this week. It's a pretty good. UFC card. I think last time I had 6 out of the 8 were underdogs for me. 6 out of 8 of 14, I mean. And then I think I've changed. I think I switched the one. So I think I'm at 5 underdogs on the night, which is still a lot.
Interesting. Interesting. Yeah. That's a real lot for you.
It is. I heard a smart person talking earlier today on another podcast about some of his picks, and I think I might have changed one of them because of that person. I'm not sure. I don't know why, though. That person barely hits 500 in this year pick and fight game, so I don't know why.
Well, not in the pick and fight game, in the UFC pick and fight.
Oh, true. Yeah,
in the regional pick and fight game, we're hitting home runs every single.
Oh, you know this person I'm talking of? Do you?
Okay, good. I do know who you might be talking about.
All right. Yeah. So, did you have any? I had a tough time picking winners on this card. How about yourself?
There were. Let's see. One fight I had to go back and watch again. To make sure that I had the pick the way that I actually thought I wanted it. And then there were three or four fights where I was like, do I really like that guy or not?
Yep.
And then I had to like remind myself a few things about stats, a few things about tendencies. One guy I watched again, I'll just say it. I watched Daniel Zellhuber. More than a person should watch Daniel Zellhuber.
He's a golden boy. Come on.
Yeah. There's definitely nobody else who's ever gone by that nickname either.
No, of course not. Yeah, I had to do additional research on a bunch of these fights just to make sure I was happy with where I originally landed. And in some cases, I wasn't. So, And who knows? I could flip as we're talking, as we're doing the episode. So we probably should dive into it, though, because we were doing the prelims this episode, and it's 8 fights. So it's a stack prelims. And then we got 6 on the main card. So they're all set for at least a couple fights to fall through, and they'll still have a full house. So
they'll probably tell us after the broadcast starts so that all of your DraftKings lineups
lock. Oh, yeah. Oh, that's worse, isn't it? That's that.
If I had Kyle Williams in my DraftKings lineup, I'd have been pretty bummed.
Yeah, they aren't they sponsored by DraftKings too?
Yeah, I'm it sure seems like they should know this is. Stuff. Yeah. I'm sure, I feel like they should know this.
Yeah. Anyhow, we're not sponsored by DraftKings. We are sponsored by Shady Rays, though. Kick off the new year, or kick off the summer. It's summertime feeling up here in Canada. Kick it off with new gear built to last. Our friends at Shady Rays have you covered from the sun to the slopes with premium polarized shades, customizable snow goggles, and much more. Shady Rays is an independent sunglasses company that offers a world-class product that's just as good as any expensive pair we've worn. Durable frames and extremely clear optics for outdoor adventures. That's not all. Shady Rays offers the most insane protection in all of eyewear. Every pair of sunglasses is backed by lost and broken replacements. That would mean if you lose or break your pair, even on day one, they told us they will send you a brand new pair, no questions asked. Wear your Shady Rays with confidence because they have your back long after you purchase. With Shady Rays, you look good and you can look good and feel good. To date, they have donated over 20 million meals to fight hunger with Feeding America. If you don't love them, exchange for a new pair or return them for free within 30 days. There's no risk when you shop with Shady Rays. Their team always has your back. Here's what you need to do exclusively for our listeners. Shady Rays is giving out their best deal of the year. Go to ShadyRays.com. Use promo code SGPN. For 50% off 2 or more pairs of polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 200,000 people. So that's like 400,000 eyeballs, more than likely. Probably a little less, unless some people have 3, and then maybe there'll be a little bit more. All right, promo code ShadyRays.com, promo code SGPN. And that's not all. We are also brought to you by the NBA Survivor Challenge, an in-house contest we got going on here. Make sure to check out our NBA Playoffs Survivor Challenge. Completely free to enter. And the winner gets $250 cash out of Gumby's pocket and $100 SGPN gift card where you can buy all awesome merch for all our shows, including this one here, exclusively on the SGPN app. So definitely get into that. Okay. What are we talking about here? We're talking about UFC on ESPN, Holloway versus Allen. It's taking place not from the UFC Apex. No, from the T-Mobile Center. There's T-Mobile. Why can't I say mobile now, Dan? T-Mobile. T-Mobile. That's better. There's T-Mobile centers and arenas. This one is in Kansas City, Missouri, T-Mobile Center. Do you remember the last time they were in Kansas City? The one and only time they were in Kansas City, Dan?
I don't.
UFC on Fox, April 2017.
Oh, does I love the UFC. UFC on Foxes were good. Is that
who
used
to always headline UFC on Foxes?
A lot of Jim Miller or Cowboy Cerrone.
This one was for a belt. That'll give it away.
Oh, Mighty Mouse.
Yes, Mighty Mouse versus who?
Let's see. Ray Borg.
Nope. Wilson Hayes.
Oh,
yeah.
He's Cage Warriors fame.
There you go. So that is that was the last time they were there. And I said, what did I say that was? April of 2017. So they're back 6 years later. April 15th, my wife's birthday. This Saturday is going down. Prelims, 4:30 Eastern ESPN. That's all we're going to talk about today. We're going to start with women's bantamweight fight. Jocelyn Edwards versus Lucy Pudilova. We will tell you about Edwards first. La Pantera, 12-4, 5 knockouts, 3 submissions. She's been submitted one time. 3-2 in the UFC. She's won 2 straight. She did miss weight her last fight, something to keep note of. And she still won. She beat the odds. Fighters that miss weight. I think it's at, let's check. I got the stats right in front of me. What is it at? It is 38% is only the success rate of 4 fighters who have missed weight over the past like 3 or 4 years. Whenever I've been keeping this, at least since the start of 2020, I've been keeping these stats. So it's quite substantial. All right. She was one of those people that actually won. She used to fight at featherweight, used to fight at flyweight. Now she's right in the middle. Multiple regional championships on her.
Mantle.
Yes. Go get the shirt in the store. I just told you about sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store. All right. 3 inches of reach, 1 year younger than Pudilova. Striking stats and active striking stats are better than Pudilova's. She has outstruck her UFC opponents by almost 2 strikes a minute. Very impressive number. Plus 1.96 is her strike differential. And on the board, she's at plus 130. Pudilova 14-7, three knockouts, two submissions. She's been submitted one time. 3-5 in the UFC over two stints. She's won three straight fights, though. Last one via TKO. She used to fight at flyweight, was a regional champion. She also has a positive striking differential in the UFC of plus 0.19, so far worse than Edwards, but it is in the positive. Her grappling stats are better than Edwards. She's at minus 135, and Gumby is going to go first.
Yeah, I'm all over Lucy Pudilova here. I think Lucy Pudilova's... what?
Do you have consent?
Hey,
and you're married, for God's sakes.
Look what he did there. No,
I didn't do anything. You said it. Go ahead. Now he's frustrated already.
Lucy Pudilova's number is phenomenal. I liked Jocelyn Edwards a lot when she came in. If you remember her debut fight, when she beat Yanam Wu, I was like, man, this chick can fight. Like, she's got great takedowns. She bodies people up. And then it just could not be more clear that that's not actually what she is after the fact. And she kind of gets suckered into fighting fights that she's not particularly good at. She actually is the one getting bodied in most of her fights since then. You know, the Carol Hosa fight, she looked much weaker than Carol Hosa. She looked much weaker than Jessie Rose Clark, who looked like she had a wrestling advantage, which is not something I typically say all that much of. And actually, if you go back to when she was fighting in LFA, Sarah Alper, who didn't last too long in the UFC, also kind of like controlled her and out-wrestled her. And the thing about Lucy Pudilova is, first of all, Lucy Pudilova is insanely tough. Like, her fight with Lena Landsberg during her first run in the UFC was an absolute war. And I think she made a mistake by going down to flyweight. She was much better at bantamweight. She's much stronger. And so far, since she's gone back up to bantamweight, she looked great in octagon. Like, she was beating people up in octagon viciously. And what she did to Yanam Wu, which, again, maybe we need to stop counting wins against Yanam Wu, but what she did against Yanam Wu was just like absolutely brutalize her with like really solid top game. She's much more violent. She's the one who's going to be initiating the exchanges here. And I think if they mix it up in the grappling here, she's really going to control Edwards. So, you know, the fact that we're getting this at negative 135, I think that's a big spot here for Pudilova.
Oh, we aren't getting anything at minus 135.
Oh, you like Jocelyn Edwards here, huh?
I didn't say I liked her. I didn't say liked her.
Oh, I'm not saying you're passing notes to her in LFA.
Yeah, I'm not passing notes. I've taken her. I've updated the numbers. It's still minus 135 for you. It's plus 125 for Edwards now. I forgot. I hadn't updated these for a couple of days. Better striker, way better striker from distance. Has some reach. Grappling is going to be an issue possibly, but I like her striking better and I like her power. So give me the dog money right out of the gate, Dan. I told you.
Can I ask you up front? Because I got to know this. Because this is really gonna change the tenor of how we talk about things today. Are you off of wrestlers and people with wrestling advantages on this card?
No.
Okay.
You're not on wrestlers. I'm on some wrestlers coming.
Okay.
Up, so yeah.
Okay. Because I was gonna say if you're on all the strikers and you got a bunch of dogs, we just might not pick a single fight.
No. All right, we are disagreeing here. Let's see what we do. We're going to stick with next fight. Stick with bantamweights. Go to the male side. Aaron Phillips, Gaston Bolaños. Bolaños, is that how you say it?
Bolaños.
Oh, Bolaños. He was catching some shrapnel in the discard, right? People were upset that he's in the UFC for some reason.
Yes, they were.
All right, let's tell you about Phillips first. 12-4, six knockouts, two submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 0-3 in the UFC over two stints, so he's still looking for his first win.
Is it 0-3 or 0-4?
I had 3. It could be 4. Let me check.
Jack Shore, Goody. Oh, no. The Gutierrez fight wasn't in the UFC. My bad.
Okay.
But he did lose to Chris Gutierrez.
Okay, which is a UFC. Yeah, 0-3 in the UFC. That's true. Yep. All right. 5-1 over his last 6, so that's a lot better. He did lose his last fight via submission. That was way back July of 2020. Injuries with this guy?
Yeah, a lot of injuries.
Used to fight at upper weight class. 2011 pro MMA debut. 2 inches taller than Bolaños. Plus 162. The dream killer, Gaston Bolaños. 6-3 with 6 knockouts. He's been submitted twice. This is his UFC debut. All of his fights previously were in Bellator. This is one of those rare ones where you see a guy go straight from Bellator to the UFC. Usually the you see the Michael Chandlers of the world sometimes do that, but not usually lower level guys. But here we go. This is like I said, his debut here. He's won 1-2 over his last three fights. He won his last fight via TKO. That was back in April 2022, so he's been off for a little bit as well. Like I said, he was in Bellator the whole time. Used to fight up at featherweight. 3 years younger than Phillips, minus 175. Give me Bolaños. I'm going with the favorite here. Better experience, obviously. And he's got that power. He's finished all of his wins. So Phillips hasn't shown that he can hang at this level as of now. So give me the favorite in this fight.
So I'm going to give you that he definitely has the more power. I won't doubt that. I am going to quickly debate you on the better experience.
Yeah. Okay.
Because right now, apart from fighting Solo Hatley Jr. is a legit fight, right? Like Solo Hatley Jr. But like two of his last three fights are against the guy by the name of Daniel Carey, who's 7-6.
I know him. He's in Bellator.
Two of his last three fights are against that guy.
Yeah.
He fought Yuzdiro Gutierrez, who's 4-2. Rick Gutierrez, who's 0-1.
He's got a thing with Gutierrez.
He's anti-Gutierrez. There's your episode title, anti-Gutierrez. Okay. He fought Brendan Larocco, who is 1-1 in Bellator. Like he's fought some pretty low-level dudes. And you know, if you're gonna give him the experience advantage, we're talking about a guy who's fought Jack Shore, Chris Gutierrez, Sam Cecilia, like. Those three alone are way better. And back on the regional scene, he fought John DeJesus, who's like a pretty big name in Cage Warriors right now. So like,
Aaron, are you taking Phillips?
I am actually going to take Phillips here. And not just
because, the layoffs. You're not concerned about the layoff.
Concerned about the layoff. Okay. I'm also concerned about his weight cut because I think that that's what canceled one of those four fights he had canceled.
He had a lot. Jonathan Martinez, Chris Motino, Cameron Ellis, Adrian Yanez, all of those fights he pulled out of, right? Or were canceled.
No, but Motino and Ellis pulled out of their fights.
Okay.
So he pulled out of the Yanez and Martinez ones, but Motino and Ellis pulled out of theirs. So, like, you know, those two fights, one of them seemed like it was a weight cut issue. So I am a little concerned about that. But I'll say this. If you look at Bolaños in those Bellator fights, he just, like, he doesn't initiate any of the action. He waits for everything to come to him. He's like a strike second kind of guy. He likes his counters. And, yeah, he's got power in the counters. But Aaron Phillips, like, kind of brings the fight to people. If you go back to his fight at Cowboys versus Cajuns 1.
Of course.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's fantastic.
I watched it, which is...
Of course you did.
It's phenomenal. He just, like, he's got a lot of good forward pressure, and he puts it on people. Could it get him caught here? Sure. But at the same time, at a plus 200 number, what was the actual number?
Plus 162, not quite 200.
So it's come down a little bit. If I had had it earlier, it would have been even better. But like Aaron Phillips is worth that price. And I'll say this, you're looking for a better way to bet this fight, just bet the under.
Yeah, this fight's it's too low level for me to argue with you about what fighter's going to win. So we'll just wait and see, okay?
Okay, that sounds
good. Women's strawweight. Let's move to that. Bruna Brazil, who was on the Top Turtle MMA podcast this week with Daniel Gumby Vreeland. That was not Kyle interpreting, right?
Interpreting. Yeah, that was Cabo Ohio interpreting. Yeah, impressive work that dude did. You know, not just speaking English to me and helping out, but like he kept up and he even followed up a question for me when he realized she didn't answer all of it. Yeah, he was amazing.
Good. Did you interview him as well for a future episode?
No, but we have a tentative date. So
good.
Yeah. Good.
Yes, he is we're a fan of his on this podcast and in the Discord. He's one of our adopted sons, right? And daughters.
Yeah, and I think we're about to get an adopted daughter here.
Oh, okay. Bruna Brazil. Let's tell you about her, and she's fighting Denise Gomes. We'll tell you about Gomes first. D is the nickname, D-E-E, 6-2 with 4 knockouts, been knocked out once, 0-1 in the UFC, 1-0 on the Contender Series, 1-0 in Evicta, used to fight at flyweight, is a pro grappler, 6 years younger than Brazil. She outstruck her UFC opponent and Contender Series opponent by 0.64 strikes per minute. And she's at plus 150. The special one at Bruna Brazil, you can hear how she got that nickname if you listen to Gumby's interview. She's 8-2-1 with 3 knockouts, 2 submissions. She's been knocked out twice, so finished in both of her losses via knockout. This is her debut after going 1-0 on the Contender Series with a head kick knockout. It's part of a 7-fight winning streak. She's not lost since November 2017. She fought a fight at lightweight. Did you know that, Dan? 155 pounds, or I think she weighed 153 for the fight.
That's incredible.
It is. Is a pro boxer or was a pro boxer. 4 inches taller than Gomes, 2 inches of reach on her. Striking and grappling stats are better than hers, but that's based off one fight for Brazil. In that fight, she outstruck her opponent by 2.2 strikes per minute. Most important one being that head kick. She's at minus 155. And I think we're both taking her by the sounds of things here.
Yeah, I can't believe she's negative 155. Like, I don't know what the books are doing here. Maybe they're gun shy on newcomers because we had a little bit of an issue last week with newcomers. But let me tell you something. Denise Gomes, like you said, she's a jiu-jitsu specialist with like some Muay Thai background too. She's not bad at Muay Thai, but both of those things necessitate that you get inside on a fighter, right? Like they necessitate that you get in close range, and she's got a massive reach disadvantage and is fighting somebody who hits incredibly hard if you make a mistake on your entry. So yeah, like Bruna Brazil is going to wreck her. And in addition to that, I'm not even sure Denise Gomes gets a takedown if she winds up in the clinch, because you go back to her fight with Loma Lugbume. Loma Lugbume is an atom weight, and Loma Lugbume threw around Denise Gomes. Like, I think she had like 4 or 5 takedowns in that fight. So yeah, Bruna Brazil is just going to brutalize her. Negative 155 is one of the most ridiculous prices I've seen out there.
Yeah, we're both taking Brutalizer Bruna Brazil. She's really the special one, but I named her Brutalizer now. Yeah, we're both taking her. We are on the same. That's the first fight we agreed on so far. There you go. It took 3 fights, but we're on the same page. All right. One thing we do agree on is Underdog Fantasy, because they sponsor us. We are brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is a great place to get down on fantasy and player props all year long. Underdog Fantasy has your favorite NBA, NHL, and MLB daily games. Plus, they're already doing best ball drafts for the 2023 NFL season. Head over to UnderdogFantasy.com and use promo code SGPN for 100% deposit bonus up to $100. That's UnderdogFantasy.com, promo code SGPN.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Moving on to lightweights, male lightweights, Lando Venata versus Daniel Zellhuber, the aforementioned Mr. Zellhuber. We'll tell you about Groovy Lando first. 12-6-2, 4 knockouts, 5 submissions. He's been submitted twice, 4-6-2 in the UFC. He's got win, loss, win, loss, win, loss over his past 6 fights. He did lose his last fight via submission. Used to fight down at featherweight, up at welterweight, was regional champion. 2012 pro MMA debut. He's barely been outstruck in the UFC, but he has been by minus 0.07 strikes per minute. He's at plus 105. Golden boy, Daniel Zellhuber, 12-1, 7 knockouts, 2 submissions, never been finished in a fight. 0-1 in the UFC, 1-0 in the contender series, used to fight at welterweight, 4 inches of height, 6 inches of reach, 7 years younger than Venata. More active striker. He's one of those weird guys that are at plus 0.0 strike differential. So he's been hit as often as he's hit his opponents over his UFC and his contender series fight. As I lost my spot, and he's at minus 125. I'm taking Zellhuber, bigger, way younger. He's got the grappling, hopefully, to keep Venata off him. But no, I'm taking, I don't think it was a grappling I was picking him for. I believe it was the striking, but mostly it's because he's so much bigger and so much younger. And I think Gumby's going the other way, because he seemed to be angry about watching Daniel Zellhuber video earlier in this episode. So go ahead.
How is a guy that big? Because he's big, right?
Yeah.
How does he get outstruck by Trey Ogden?
Trey Ogden's a dog? A beast.
He's a samurai ghost?
He's a samurai ghost. That's right, he is.
But let's... Okay, so this is my comparison point. Trey Ogden has fought 3 fights in the UFC. He has 1 win. And it was largely by outstriking Daniel Zellhuber.
Yeah.
And Daniel Zellhuber is built just like Ignacio Bahamondes, who then... absolutely put it on Trey Ogden in an embarrassing way, right? Like, he just brutalized Trey Ogden. He made it look like he had never fought in the UFC. And on one hand, I'm like, okay, well, Ignacio Bahamonde is a little bit better than Daniel Zellhuber. But also, do you know who else outstruck Trey Ogden? Jordan Leavitt. Do you know who I don't think of as being, like, a polished striker? Jordan Leavitt. So, like, we're talking about Daniel Zellhuber, a guy who's, you know, out there giving up takedowns to guys like Trey Ogden, but also largely getting outstruck by Trey Ogden. And he's going to be fighting somebody in Lando Venata, who I think has a pretty good takedown game, right? Like, Lando Venata is like a sleeper good wrestler. He comes from a wrestling background, and he's been using it more. He took down Mike Grundy, so that helped him win that fight. He took down Charles Jourdain, although he got subbed on the way to there. He took down Bobby Green. Like, this is a guy who's got, like, a pretty good takedown game, and I think people sleep on it. He drew with Matt Frivola because of his takedown game. I think he gets in on Zellhuber's legs, but even if he doesn't, I think he could win in the striking here.
Boy, we are all over the place. We are not agreeing, but that's okay.
What am I getting? What am I getting? Banana at again?
Yeah, we're not even agreeing on our dogs. You are plus 110, so it's almost okay. It's almost even here. All right. No, sorry, plus 105. I'll give it to you. Even worse. All right. Next fight's got a plus 110 in it. Women's strawweight. Maybe we can get on the same page here. Jillian Robertson, the Canadian, versus Pierre Rodriguez. She's not a Rodriguez, right? No.
She's a Rodriguez.
She is La Fiera, though. Do you know what that is?
The force.
The beast. But yes, I think I think it also could translate to the force. But no.
Okay.
Google said the beast, and Google's number wrong. She is 9-0, so she is a force as well, with 5 knockouts. 2-0 in the UFC, 1-0 in the Contender Series. Was the LFA champion, used to fight at flyweight. She's 1.7 times more active landing strikes than Robertson, so that's what all you need to know is she lands more strikes. She's outstruck her UFC and Contender Series opponents by 0.89 strikes per minute, and she's the one at plus 110 for some reason. Jillian the Savage Robertson, 11-7, 1 knockout, 8 submissions. She's been knocked out once, submitted once. 8-5 in the UFC. She's got win-loss-win over her last 3, both for wins via submission. She's only won 2 of her last 5. She also used to fight at lightweight. I didn't even know there was women's lightweight back in the day, but apparently there was, that these women were fighting at. She has missed weight before. And I think she fought at strawweight. I think that's what I meant to put here, Dan. That makes more sense, does it not? Yes. She used to fight at strawweight, and she missed weight at strawweight. 0-1 on the Ultimate Fighter. Is a pro grappler. 2 inches height over Rodriguez. 3 years younger. She's been outstruck in the UFC by minus 0.65 strikes per minute. Minus 110.
This one's me?
Yeah. I took Zellhuber, and you snickered at me.
Yeah, that's right. I did. I'm gonna give you what you want. I'm gonna pick the Canadian.
No, I'm not.
Get out of here! You're fading your country.
Yes.
Oh my God, we are
good.
Is Pierre Rodriguez?
Pierre Rodriguez is gonna destroy her on the feet.
I mean, yeah, but also Pierre Rodriguez got taken down multiple times by Kay Hansen.
Yeah.
It's largely controlled by Kay Hansen. Kay Hansen had almost 4 minutes of top control time against Pierre Rodriguez. She could not get out from underneath Kay Hansen, who had a miserable UFC stint that included only one win, and she had to get a come from behind armbar to win that fight.
You're doing a lot of MMA math today, you know, with this guy beat that guy and this guy took that guy down.
Well, this is not this person beat this person, because she didn't beat Pierre Rodriguez, to be clear. But what she did do was she made Pierre Rodriguez grapple with her, which, if she can do that, I think Jillian Robertson can. And really, I'm going to say this. I think Jillian Robertson doesn't need to be on the ground with her all that often, because I don't think Pierre Rodriguez's jiu-jitsu is really good. She's one of those people who, like, gives up a position to try to stand back up. And Jillian Robertson is one of the people who doesn't let you do that. We've seen her do that in grappling competitions. We've seen her do that in MMA. And yes, I think her striking absolutely is terrible. I don't like it at all. But when you look at her fights with Priscilla Cachuera or Maria Agapova, two women who are supposed to outstrike the hell out of her, and both largely were, those women gave up takedowns and got beat by rear naked choke. So, I'm going to take Jillian Robertson here, and I got to pay favorite money here. What was the number again?
Yeah, it was minus 110, I think.
Okay. I'll take that.
I'll take Rodriguez under 78% takedown defense to stuff enough that she can rock Robertson. Robertson looked really bad on the feet recently. I'm off of her, so we shall see. Light heavyweights, maybe we'll agree here. Zach Cummings, who was on the Top Turtle MMA podcast, versus Ed Herman. Yes, both these men are both in the UFC still, technically. We'll tell you about Herman first. 26-15 with one no contest, 7 knockouts, 14 submissions. Been knocked out 3 times, submitted 6 times. 13-11 with one no contest in the UFC. 3-1 over his last 4. The loss coming in his last fight, which was way back in August of 2021. He's fight at middleweight, 2-0 in the Ultimate Fighter, 0-1 in Strikeforce. Was regional champion, 2003 pro MMA debut. Yes, 2003. 20 years. He's got 2 inches reach on Cummings. More active landing strikes. He's been outstruck over his UFC career by 0.24 strikes per minute. So almost a wash there. He has better grappling stats than Cummings. Plus 190. Zach Cummings, 24-7. 5 knockouts, 12 submissions. Been submitted twice. 9-4 in the UFC. He's won 3 of his last 4, including his last fight. He has not fought since August of 2020. So he's been out almost along with the back injury. Used to fight at welterweight, used to fight at middleweight. Now he's all the way up at light heavyweight. Was a regional champ. 1-1 in the Ultimate Fighter. 1-0 in Bellator. 0-1 in Strikeforce. 2007 pro MMA debut. He's 4 years younger than Herman. He's been outstruck by minus 0.25 strikes per minute. So almost exactly the same as Herman. These guys, their resumes are very similar here. Minus 215. The number on the board is not similar. Give me Cummings. I'm counting on the grappling coming through. It's hard picking two old guys who have been on the shelf for so long, but I'm taking Cummings. I'm not a fan of this minus 215 line, though.
Yeah, you pretty much stole the words out of my mouth. We agree in here. I really do hate this line. I like Zach Cummings. I think there's going to be a wrestling advantage here. I think there's going to be a jiu-jitsu advantage here. I think the way he pushes forward, and also just like the way Ed Herman makes mistakes, right? Like Ed Herman is a guy who's, I mean, like, his whole career is built around the fact that, like, he is not afraid to get hit, right? And he just goes in there and mixes it up. And it's worked really well for him sometimes. And he, like, wears people out. But, like, Zach Cummings isn't a guy you wear out. And, like, I also just don't think he's going to, like, go out there and, like, finish Zach Cummings like how he did Mike Rodriguez or Patrick Cummings, who's a different one, or Tim Bosch, like. Those are the types of people he's out there finishing. And the people he's out here losing to are, you know, like CB Dalloway, who had like a similar game, and like Alonzo Minifield, who used some of his wrestling. Like, I really do think Zach Cummings can like mimic that and definitely deal with the pressure that Ed Herman brings. So yeah, give me Zach Cummings here, even though, again, maybe a line I'm not picking.
Why is it such a big line? This is more like a pick'em line in my eyes.
I think just because when you have a 42-year-old light heavyweight, yeah, even if his opponent is a 38-year-old light heavyweight, he winds up with a shitty line.
Yeah. There you go. Gumby, put it into layman's terms for us. All right. We're going way down now to the flyweights. Brandon Royval versus Matias Nicolau. We'll tell you about Royval first. The Raw Dog, DAWG, of course. 14-6, 3 knockouts, 9 submissions. He's been knocked out once, submitted once. 4-2 in the UFC. He's won 2 straight. Before that, he lost 2 straight. He won his last fight via submission, was the LFA champion, 1-0 World Series of Fighting. He's fight at bantamweight, 2012 pro MMA debut. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.6 strikes per minute. 3 inches taller, 2 inches of reach on Nicolau, plus 180 is the number on him. Nicolau, 19-2-1 with 5 knockouts, 5 submissions, very well-rounded. He's been knocked out twice, so that is his Achilles heel. 7-1 in the UFC over 2 stints. He's won 6 straight. And 12 of 13, yes, that's correct, 12 of 13, has not lost since July of 2018. Won his last fight via knockout. Used to fight at bantamweight as well. 2-1 the Ultimate Fighter. 2010 pro MMA debut. Striking and active striking stats are better than Roy Ball's. He's outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.64 strikes per minute. He's at minus 205. Go ahead.
I'm going to go favorite here. And I'm going to be honest.
I'm surprised. You like Royval.
I do. I love Royval so much. But I will say this. This run that Nicolau was on looks like what I thought he was when he was in the UFC the first time. Because when he was in the UFC the first time, he had that Japanese necktie on Bruno Correa. And then he beat John Moraga by split decision. John Moraga, like a real underrated dude. He went 3-1 and got released after losing kind of a funky fight to Dustin Ortiz. Since then, this is a guy with wins over Manel Cape, Tim Elliott, David Dvorak, Matt Schnell, And he's done it by being gritty, by having good jiu-jitsu, by not making dumb mistakes, with big, heavy hands. And the thing about Royval is that, like, his grappling is good. He's just not going to initiate any of it. If this goes to the grappling realm and it hits the ground, it's going to be Royval on his back. And it's probably going to be Royval. And I know the Discord hates this, and we're going to talk about it right now. It's probably going to be Royval jumping a guillotine. It's not going to be a fight that he wins if he's jumping guillotines. And, you know, from the perspective of, like, most of his fights that he's won over high level opponents, like the one over Kaikara France, it was just like he tagged him with a great shot on the feet and then went to the submission. I don't know that he is going to tag somebody like Matheus Nicolau, who didn't get tagged by Manel Cape, who didn't get tagged by, you know, the ever durable Matt Schnell, who, like, you know, didn't get tagged by John Moraga back in the day. Like, I just don't think that's a winnable way for Brandon Royval. And I do think Matheus Nicolau just has, I mean, he's just got too many things for him to deal with.
Yeah. Nicolau is the pick. He's looking real good. Recently pretty solid everywhere too. So I don't think, Royval is kind of a wild card, 'cause he is, you know, explosive and wild, but he is a raw dog, but I think Nicolau is the pick here. We agree on that. Let's go to the main event. Featherweights, Bill Augeo versus TJ Brown. It's the main event of the prelims. We'll tell you about downtown TJ Brown first. 17-9, 4 knockouts, 10 submissions. He's been knocked out 3 times, submitted 3 times. 3-3 in the UFC. However, he's won 3 of his last 4, including his last fight, which he won via submission. He's missed weight twice, something to keep in mind. You may want to wait till weigh-ins before, if you're going to bet him. 1-0 in the Contender Series, used to fight at lightweight. Everyone on this card used to fight at lightweight, female and males. 2013 pro MMA debut, 1-0 as a pro boxer. He has outstruck his UFC opponents by 0.71 strikes per minute. He has better grappling stats than Algio. He's at plus 170. Senior Perfecto, whose nickname is a lie because he is 16-7. 4 knockouts, 6 submissions. He's been submitted twice. So pretty durable. 3-3 in the UFC, just like Brown. 2-1 over his last 3. He, the loss being his last fight. He went 0-1 in the Contender Series, was regional champion, his missed weight in the past. Also, 1-0 in the World Series of Fighting, 2012 pro MMA debut. 3 inches taller, 1 inch of reach on Brown. He's 1.7 times more active landing strikes than Brown is in the UFC. Plus, he's outstruck his UFC opponents by a very impressive 1.54 strikes per minute, minus 185. I'm going dog. I think a smart man on the podcast with me is going dog as well. I'm taking the wrestler here. I think is the wrestling and the grappling is going to be too much for the so-called senior perfecto. So give me, and Brown's, his striking is right. Basically almost the same level as Algeo's is, not much of a deficit there. So, and he's way, way ahead of him in grappling and wrestling. So give me downtown TJ Brown at a very nice plus 170.
Yeah, I love the price on this almost as much as I love the fighter, because I will say this. I think TJ Brown gets a bad rap, dude. Like, he definitely gets a bad rap because of his early UFC career where he lost that fight to Jordan Griffin. But I think people forget he was beating the hell out of Jordan Griffin in that fight. He had taken him down at will. He had been in the better positions. And then he lost the fight to Danny Chavez, largely just by, like, eating too many leg kicks and not checking him. But then he rattled off wins over Kai Kamaka, Charles Rosa, Eric Silva, and all of it using excellent wrestling. Out-wrestling Charles Rosa is something to be lauded. Like the only people who are really out-grappling Charles Rosa are him and Bryce Mitchell. And that's a good company to be in. And when you look back at, you know, Bill Algeo's fights, like, the path to victory to beat him is easy. It's wrestling. It's make him work. Make him not throw his big punches. Because he did it with Ricardo Ramos. Ramos took him down 8 times. Easy. Ricardo Lamas took him down 5 times. Ricardo Lamas, not a guy we know of as a grappler, took him down 5 times. Joe Anderson Brito forgot to wrestle him for 2 rounds. Remembered in the 3rd round. Won the 3rd round. Still lost the fight. I think as long as TJ Brown goes in with the right game plan here, this is his fight. So, yeah, give me the dog money on TJ Brown.
Why is this line so crazy, Dan?
I don't know. Dude, I think it's probably because I think Bill Algeo gained a lot of fans in that fight with Ricardo Lamas. He took it on short notice. He really got the crap beat out of him, but like in a way that like made him kind of endearing to fans because he like never quit. Like the opposite of Chris Moutinho. I think he's still riding on that goodwill and less of the, on the good good skill.
Chris Moutinho catching stray shrapnel, innocent bystander. All right, that is it for the prelims. We'll break. I will recap. It'll take a while because we're all on different fights here, different fighters. We're both in on TJ Brown though. We're both in on Matias Nicolau. We're both in on Zach Cummings. So we ended things up on the same page. I like Rodriguez. He likes Robertson. He likes Vanata. I like Zellhuber. I didn't explain it very well why I did, but hopefully I will before I write about it.
He's tall.
Because he's tall and young. We both like, it'll come through the watch. We both like the special one, Bruno Brazil, the brutalizer. He likes Phillips. I like Bolanos. I like Edwards. He likes Pudilova, right?
That's correct.
All right. And that is it for the prelims. We'll be back tomorrow with the main card. Six fights. So it's going to be a longer episode as well. We got six fights break down, and then we're going to give you our locks, dogs. What else do we give you? Props. We give you parlays. We give you lots of fun stuff. Get in the Discord. I told you that already. It's sportsgumbypodcast.com/Discord. Lots of fun in there. Twitter is SGPNMMA. Gumby runs that account. I'm at Jeff Fox Writer. He's at Gumby Vreeland. He hosts the Top Turtle MMA podcast. We already told you about that, and we told you he interviews. Do we tell them everyone that you interview this week?
No, I don't think so. I interviewed Bruno Brazil,
yep.
Dustin Jacoby, and Zach Cummins.
Yes, Jacoby we did not talk about because he is on tomorrow's podcast. We're breaking in his fight. All right, so listen to Top Turtle. Get that in your ears. Read all our stuff, sportsgamblingpodcast.com, and subscribe to my Substack, moneymma.substack.com. You get a MMA email from me pretty much every day, and you can enter my free pick'em contest while you're on there as well. That is all you need to know. As I said, we'll be back tomorrow. Until then, I will remain groovy Jeff Fox, my co-host, of course, the Golden Boy, Daniel Gumby Vreeland, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.